You're listening to the Positive Finpack Podcast.
My name is Aiden. I'm a public speaker, a business consultant, a corporate trainer, and a professional improviser.
And I'm Marjorie.
And we've been friends for 14 years. This podcast is an experiment.
Where we talk about me trying every diet program under the sun and the moon and who knows where else.
The Positive Finpack Podcast is proudly sponsored by The Art of Change, Skills for Life. Change is inevitable. Progress is not. You make the difference. To learn more, visit artofchange.com. So this week, we're going to talk about stress, eating stress, sleeping through stress, and just generally, you know, stress. So, how you doing, Marjorie?
Well, this week hasn't been great. I started something new with my therapist several weeks ago, and it's great and it's helping me, and honestly, it's even probably one of the things that drove me to want to change my habits. Mm-hmm. We've been doing EMDR, which stands
What does that stand for? Not everyone's familiar with it.
Let me see.
And like, you know, just imagine that. Of course, I know what it means, but like, just imagine that I don't know what it means.
Yeah, totally. So EMDR, well, until recently, I didn't know what it meant. EMDR means eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it supposedly helps with trauma. And they've, you know, tried it out in, you know, with military, with PTSD cases there. And I even was listening to one of my true crime podcasts, and they were talking about, I think, the Golden State Killer. And they sat in, like, on a therapy session with some women that were his rape victims. And it sounded a lot like EMDR to me. But anyway, it's...
So does that, are you trying to say that you encountered the Golden State Killer?
No, I did not encounter the Golden State Killer. I encountered what for me was trauma as a child that, and this is part of it too, is I feel like it's baby trauma. It's not, it's not compared to someone that was, you know, abused or something as a child, either physically or sexually abused. I had some trauma with religion and it affected me a lot more than I thought it did, than I, you know, gave credit for it.
And I find this so fascinating because so many people look to religion for solace. And I know so many people who have found, of course, great comfort in faith, whether that be Buddhism or Christianity or Judaism, that faith has been a real guiding light for a lot of people. And conversely, a real damaging force for a lot of people. So you had an encounter as a kiddo.
Yeah.
With religion.
Yeah, with religion. A couple of encounters, actually. I think the first one set the tone. And uh-huh. I think, but we've actually worked through that. And it's not as big of a deal as I really thought it was. You know, and again, like I say, I consider this kind of, you know, like not real trauma. I don't know why, but
does that affect your recovery though? If you're like, this trauma doesn't count, are you able to then heal it? You know what I mean? Like, there's so much research out there now that's like, you know, trauma, you can't really put it on a scale of traumatic to not traumatic. Everybody's individual on this planet. So when humans experience trauma, it's specific to their own experience of the world. So, I mean, I know that it's not the same intensity as someone who, say, was raised in a closet under the stairs, for example.
Right.
That,
yeah,
but that
I'm
being
not
said,
Harry Potter, but...
Okay, I just was reaching for an example I knew.
But, and that's exactly what my therapist has told me. She has told me that I need to not minimize this and act like it's not real, because it is real for me. And I think, minimizing it and acting like it's not real has been part of my coping strategy all these years.
Deep, profound. Way to go, therapist. You sound like you really know what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really, it's been, I don't know, it's been interesting. There's been a lot of research on EMDR, but basically, I guess the theory behind it is that you process trauma a lot of times in your REM sleep, and for most of my life, and as a direct result of the big bad trauma, I did not get a lot of REM sleep. So, you know, it was really, so now we've gotten past, I guess, the initial incident, and, you know, the incident was that, I mean, I'll go ahead and say it for people that don't know. Although yeah. Most people that know me know this about me, but
yes, and all of our listeners, of course, will already know everything about you. Oh, wait, that's not how this works.
Okay, so my parents sent me to Catholic school,
and now
they now wanted me to get.
That's yeah. All you have to say immediately. Everybody is like, "Oh, yes, I too share your trauma."
Well,
no offense to my Catholic friends.
No, and that wasn't, and it's so funny because I didn't go to a stereotypical Catholic school. I found out as an adult that I probably went to, you know, the hippy dippy version of a Catholic school, because we were definitely, well, first of all, I don't remember us having nuns at all until we had a nun when I was in fourth grade, and she was like, you know, over the reading program. That was it.
Oh, Sister Mary Ignatius of the reading program.
I don't even remember her name, but yeah, we didn't have, you know, that big of a presence. I mean, we had to go to mass every week and all that stuff. And that's not really the traumatic part of it, to tell you the truth. My mother, who I think had delusions of grandeur, but also, you know, as she's not alive to defend herself, I will say that she just wanted me to get a better education than she felt the public school could give me. And, you know, probably I did get a better education than my peers that started off in the public school system at that time got. We were doing things that were ahead of our time. And
like
so,
math and reading and science.
Well, like phonics. We learned to read with phonics. And, you know, and now that doesn't seem like a big deal. But in 1980, that was a huge, you know, that was not how you learn to read.
And do you remember when there was a whole advertising campaign for phonics? They had to advertise it. They were like,
but that was way after 1980.
They're like, here's an educational paradigm.
That's right. And so it became the standard. But like I say, I was learning it, you know, 15, 20 years before it was the standard. Anyway, so.
And all of that intense education caused you trauma.
No. No, the part of the trauma was that my parents refused to baptize me. Mm. And so this doesn't gel with one of the core beliefs of the Catholic Church, and because they believe that baptism erases your, I don't know if erases is the right word, but I guess
cleanse?
For all intents and purposes, erases maybe your original sin that everyone, every human is born with. And so because I
feel like baptized, I feel like I should put that song underneath the, I can't remember the artist, the I was born an original sinner. Is that the Eurythmics? I was born.
I think it was. Sin. It seems like it was at least Annie Lennox. Yeah.
If I had a dollar bill for all the things I've done, there'd be a mountain of money, 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 money. Well, now I don't have to play it because I sang it.
So well.
Does that
Annie Lennox would be proud.
Does that absolve us of having to pay royalties? Because we cannot afford royalties right now.
I have no idea.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Although I doubt anyone that remotely knows Annie Lennox is listening. Or anyone in the Eurythmics.
Have a little faith, no pun intended. Carry on with your story about Catholicism.
Oh, so anyway, and like I say, this wasn't necessarily, this was just a bad situation wherein I happened to be the hapless victim. But so they didn't baptize me. And, as soon as I found out that I was the only kid that wasn't baptized, I started begging to be baptized. And they were both pretty adamant on, you will decide when you are 18 whether or not you want to be baptized. And that's just not going to happen until then. And so then cut to second grade, we're studying original sin. And I'm like, and one of the beliefs is that if you aren't baptized, then you have this stain of original sin and you are not eligible for heaven. So
that's harsh.
Anyway,
man.
Yeah.
If I was baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist in third grade, does that make me a candidate for heaven?
Well, I don't know. I have to be honest. It's been so long since I've had my theology. But I feel like that's a sight better than just not being baptized at all.
Okay, sweet. What about being Jewish, which I am?
Well, and this is when I say I went to a pretty progressive Catholic school, because I remember being taught, if anybody, and I don't know if this is just the time too, but I remember being taught in school that, the Jews, Jesus was a Jew. And if anybody's getting in before us, it's the Jews.
Praise.
But y'all are misguided.
Well, so. I mean, but it's partly what makes us so funny.
Well, because of that whole, Jesus thing. But anyway, if y'all only knew. So that was my initial trauma at seven, it being made clear to me that I was not eligible for heaven. And then, being taught over the years what hell was. that was rough. And I think hindsight being what it is, I think the adults in my life could have all handled it a sight better than I think they did. Having been a child, I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but, I do think that kind of set in motion this sense that I am bad.
Oh.
And
I hate hearing that. It makes me feel so sad.
Well, yeah. And I think that I started eating as a way to punish myself for being bad and as a way to,
This is going to sound so horrible, but it's the first thing that popped into my head because of my improv background. So I'm going to say it. When you're eating delicious food, like I'm picturing like Homer Simpson being like, delicious punishment.
Well, and then that's the other weird part is that it's not necessarily delicious.
Mm.
When I was a kid, I was eating like cans of raw biscuits. This is not.
Oh, God.
I know.
That's not. This, oh. Was,
oh, this was not exactly,
Wait, do you, when you smell raw biscuits? Childhood.
No, I'm not. But, I barely remember doing that, but I know I did. I know that, you know, that's kind of what I would do.
But like, kids eat weird stuff because they're kind of checking stuff out. Like, I tried to eat sand once and I decided never to do that again. But like, a lot of kids had that experience of eating something. Like, one time I ate grass off the hillside. I was 4. One of the kids told me it was delicious. I tried it. It wasn't the worst. It might have been a prank. I'll never know. I'm not speaking with any of those people anymore. I had other things that went horribly wrong, far worse than eating grass. But that's a story for another podcast. the point is, I think that kids eat weird stuff.
Yeah, they do eat weird stuff. But like I say, this wasn't, you know, culinary delights by any stretch of the imagination.
Gotcha.
It wasn't like I was, you know, give me all the chocolate.
Do you still eat raw biscuits? Just be honest.
Do you? Oh, no. Do
you?
No, I rarely even buy raw biscuits, or the cans of biscuits. And half the time when I do buy them, because like they're on sale or something, and I think, you know, and I have all these good intentions of, because there's a lot of recipes that call for canned biscuits that, mm-hmm. you know, look delightful in the videos. but
tasty.
Yeah, exactly. but half the time, you know, I forget to use them by the time or cook them by the time they've well past their expiration date. And then I'll clean out the fridge, you know, in a while, mm-hmm. and find out, oh, these expired a year ago. And so I end up throwing them away most of the time. And
gotcha.
I, you know, it's one of those things that I feel fairly neutral about as far as the biscuits themselves. but, you know, like I say, I think it set in motion my coping mechanism with stress. And so we tackled that stress.
But this does bring us full circle to where we started this conversation, which is 2 weeks ago, you started EMDR. You've recognized that part of your compulsive, is that the right word? Compulsive eating, or at least your mental frame around eating.
Yeah.
That it's around sort of, I imagine it's twofold. It's punishment for your perception, but also, it's like the layer around your soul is your body, and that's like a big shield against the world. So there's also that
piece. Is something else my therapist has told me, that she thinks my fat protects me.
Yeah, not bad for an improviser, right?
No, not at all. You missed your calling. Improv therapy.
I've heard it before. It feels so, I don't know, landmines, you know. Anyway. So how is EMDR going? Are you noticing anything with it?
Okay. So that was the original incident, and I feel like I've processed that.
That's cool.
One of the things about it, though, is when you have one of these sessions, and I didn't just start 2 weeks ago, but it's been a couple months, but I only see my therapist every 2 weeks. So I have a session every couple of weeks, but you continue kind of processing. And so I've noticed for me that it will affect my sleep. I have more dreams, right after a session, and, I don't sleep as well for probably a good week or so. And then I start sleeping good again. And I think it's just, you know, the processing of it all.
I'll buy that. That sounds logical.
Yeah. So, anyway, and then I've noticed that I just have like, you know, a stressy feeling. And these feelings of me being bad kind of come up at weird times. And I think that's also, that set the framework at such a young age for just about everything around me, including food. For me, I have such food issues food definitely goes into the good and bad category. And when I eat bad food, I'm being bad. So
that's hard. That's tough. And I totally sympathize. I also wonder, like, last time we talked, you had had a victory on the scale and you were tracking and you hadn't had dessert in a few days. And like you were
tracking.
So you were on a roll last time we talked. So what's the status update on all those things?
Part of it too is that I was tracking, I was coming in under my calories. And for some reason this week, I have literally just felt my ankles get bigger and I'm retaining water. And, and I have had, you know, some, what's the opposite of a victory?
It would be a loss, but in this case, that would be a victory.
The scale loss, because I didn't lose, I gained.
Right. So I guess in this case, a gain would be the opposite of it.
But then I do what I always do, which is like, well, screw this. I'm just throwing in the towel and I'm just going to eat all the things that are bad. And, you know, and then like I say, then food is good and bad. And then, you know, it's like, what is it? The devil and the angel in your shoulder, and they're battling constantly. And then, you know, I don't eat. And anyway, it's just
spoken like a Catholic.
Exactly.
I could not resist. I apologize. Well, so how many days, but you're still tracking? So have you tracked?
Yeah, I've tracked all the ugliness.
Well, that's a beautiful thing, because if people are members of My Fitness Pal, they can follow along on not just the victories, but the realness, because, you know, that's what this is all about. Your journey is a real human journey with a real human with real emotions.
Yeah. And I feel like this week I've been a cautionary tale. But apparently there was some study in Japan that shows that you can lose weight easier if you cry for like an hour a day.
That's fabulous news.
And apparently you should cry between the hours of 5 and 7 p.m.
But that's the dinner hours.
I know. Probably they forget to eat dinner because they're so busy crying.
I mean, you can burn a lot of calories crying. We will post that. I'd love for you to post that. So Marjorie, you post that on the Facebook group for sure and tweet it out. I think that link will be interesting.
I can't tell you again how grateful I am to have somebody like you in my life that's willing to spend this much time to do this podcast with me.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. We're talking about this stuff anyway. We might as well make a podcast of it.
True that, yo.
Like, from my perspective, there's not much changed for me. It's but, you know, look, if having a personal improviser and a podcast and a whole bunch of accountability in the public eye is somehow helpful, I'm game to try that. I would love to see you get healthy. I think that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
To have you be pain-free and moving through the world excited about stuff other than food, as you're able to move freely towards other stuff, I'd be into that. Because let's be honest, right now,
the thing is, I'm so bad at like the social thing. And, you know, I tend to be one of those fiercely private, you know, heck, let's just say it. I'm a lurker.
You know, there are skinny lurkers in the world. You don't have to be social if you lose weight. There's no rule that says if you lose weight, you have to be social. There are no rules.
You know, I think I need the support of people. And I think that's why I've chosen to go this route with the whole podcast.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think some folks are probably in the same boat with you and going through similar journeys. And it's all very human. There's more than one human on this planet. We just happen to be podcasting your story. I'll tell you what, I'm going to I'm going to name a food, and I want you to put it in a, because it's time. We haven't played a game. This has been a very sad and very serious episode. So let's end on a high note.
We have to play.
So we're going to play a game. I'm just now making this up.
Okay.
This is based on an improv game that's typically a storytelling game where somebody says something good and then somebody says something bad. The audience says, yay, or boo. But we're going to play this game with food just to give our listening audience a sense of how you view the food in the world. And I'm going to leave it up to you to classify what's yay and boo. Yay, maybe yay is delicious and boo is not delicious. Maybe yay is nutritious and boo is not nutritious.
I'm gonna say yay is good for you versus boo not good for you.
Oh, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna say foods I know you don't like eating, and you're gonna have to say yay to them.
Okay, so what's the food?
I'm gonna say foods.
Okay. And I'm going to say yay or boo, or am I going to say good or bad?
You're going to say yay or boo. Yay, okay. Well, you've decided that yay means it's good for you.
Okay.
And boo means it's bad for you.
Okay.
But I already know foods you don't like eating that are good for you. So this is going to be so fun for me.
Those are probably all the yay foods.
Let us begin. Toast.
Boo.
Rice cakes.
Yay.
Pasta.
Boo.
Chocolate.
Boo.
Grapes.
Yay.
Carrots.
Yay.
Turkey.
Yay.
Steak.
Boo.
Potato cheddar soup.
So much boo.
Tomatoes.
Yay.
Fun. Ketchup.
Boo.
Didn't that feel good?
Yes.
Gravy.
Boo.
Mustard.
Yay.
Ice cream.
Boo.
Pizza.
Boo.
Salad.
Yay.
Rice.
Define the rice.
White.
Are we talking, white rice, boo?
Brown rice.
Yay.
Forbidden rice.
What is forbidden rice?
It's the best rice. Forbidden rice is purple.
Really?
Yeah, it's the highest in nutritional value. Even higher in nutritional value than wild rice. It's a yay, and it's delicious. I love it very much.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, and finally, diet soda.
Boo.
And this concludes this rousing game of yay boo. Here's what's interesting to me, because we didn't stop and talk about any of these. There are some things that you said boo to that I think can be yay in moderation.
Like pizza.
I mean, yeah, like pasta. Like, a little bit of pasta is good. You got to get some carbs in your body, I think, to have a fully rounded.
Yeah. Well, and I should have probably asked for definition on the pasta to you, because there are some pastas that are better than the others.
I mean, like regular pasta.
Yeah, but probably not the way I want to eat it.
Oh, you would have been like, do you mean smothered in carbonara sauce?
Oh, man. No, I mean, like, well, yeah, or Alfredo sauce, you know.
I would have said marinara, and then you would have gone.
With some, boo, no, yay. No, that's probably a yay, but ew, gross.
Listeners, if you would say yay or boo differently than Marjorie, feel free to chime in the comments.
Absolutely.
On our Anchor page, which we will post the link to on Facebook, and also on if you're listening to us on a different podcast stream, you can probably find the link to our Anchor page by clicking the website link. That should take you right to our anchor.fm home page, which has a link for comments, and then you can record a comment, and then we'll include you in our next podcast.
Absolutely.
we have basically for the last 3 weeks focused specifically on two tasks for you, which is tracking all your stuff and not eating sweets. Yes. And it sounds like we've had some successes and we've also had some backslides.
Yes.
But it feels very much, I think, to both of us that it's time to try a new tactic.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Because this general feeling of stress and melancholy, if pattern of if your history is any sort of teacher, shows up when you start to get in the swing of something. And so the whole point of this podcast is to shift gears when that happens, right?
Right.
So it's time. You're feeling a general sense of stress and melancholy. It's time to try something new. So you've got one candidate, which is this bulletproof business.
It's called the 10-hour coffee diet.
It's called the 10-hour coffee diet. It sounds ridiculous. Let's do it.
Okay.
Especially since you don't drink coffee. I'm just like super into this idea that you're going to do this crazy thing. And also you already don't do the thing. So that's like.
I will be substituting green tea for coffee.
Oh my God. Green tea always gives me the shakes. All right. So we'll post a link on the Facebook page.
Yes.
To the 10-hour coffee diet so people can read what it is. I'm going to do my homework and I'll read about it as well. And then next time we talk, we're going to find out how it's going.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. I think I can do this one. I really do. I have and the so, green tea. I've got the coconut oil. I've got the protein powder. I can do it.
Excellent. That's super.
And the butter.
Super gross. It sounds so gross to me. I'm really excited to hear about it.
And then I won't have to eat lunch at work. I can just drink this.
Oh my God. Just sound everything about this sounds terrible. So let's definitely say yes. And then we'll
do all the crazy things except anything that involves tomatoes.
Stay tuned for next episode, the tomato episode,
when we talk about my obsession with not eating tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have an episode coming up soon called the red food episode, and then we'll follow that with the beige food episode.
The beige food.
The beige food. Oh, chicken fingers, french fries.
Oh. Or the white food, ooh, like bread and pasta. And I really do like the white food.
Alfredo sauce, potato soup.
Man. Keep saying words.
Okay. No. So, I don't know about you, but I have a stressful set of weeks ahead of me in terms of my schedule and my work. And I need a strategy too. So I am not going to be doing this 10-hour bulletproof coffee tea business.
And you like coffee.
I'm going to drink my coffee the way I like to drink my coffee. But you've inspired me because of this. I'm going to, when I go to the grocery store, or rather when my loving husband goes to the grocery store, I'm going to ask him to help me prep some snacks to take around with me so that I've got, you know, healthy snacks with me for those moments when I'm feeling like comfort eating. I can just reach for my cooler bag and pull out some carrot sticks.
So, anyway. But yeah, well, snacks, the sound for of sure.
The sound of that yawn is our is the sound that says we've reached the end of this episode. So we'll go ahead and say goodbye and wish all of you listening a healthy week and a better tomorrow. I don't know, I'm working on a catchphrase.
And have a healthful tomorrow.
And have a helpful tomorrow. This has been Positive Thin Pact.
Where can you make your positive thin pact?
Oh, dang, girl, that's good. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.